I asked my secretary for the list of things the Lord had told me recently. Remember he said, I will brighten your candle. I'll let you down in the deep. I'll teach you how to use your faith. I'll teach you the power of the cross. And you must know. Now he said, I'm going to train you in the supernatural. Then he says, you must know the culture of honor and how it works. I have a team working with me on that. Then he talks about apostleship. I will reveal to you church government. And then we talked about for a few moments the Lord recovery. And then we talked about a few days about the experience of the encounter of kneeling to pray. But the Lord, he has another aspect that I think the church needs to know so bad. Turn to the 23rd Psalm in Hebrews 4. There's a need for soul restoration. There's a part the soul can play that many of us have not understood because we don't understand, we had not understood the makeup of the soul and how the spirit, soul, and body can work together as a team. Let me say that again. How the spirit, soul, and body can work together as a team. Now, another thing that we have to clarify, that through various doctrine, I'm guilty of it myself because that's what I learned. But the soul is not evil within itself. And now here's a big one. The body is not evil. I got two amen on that. I know, I understand. But where we got crossed up at is that every time we saw the word flesh in the Bible, we thought it was talking about the body, but it wasn't. The flesh is talking about the lower nature, where lust is and where things, where Satan get in and do a lot of things. The body really itself is an instrument of God. Yes, it is. I believe a lot of sickness stay in our body if we continue to believe that our bodies are no good or evil thing, you know, and not treated right. But, I mean, how can it be that evil if the Lord decided to be called the temple of the Holy Ghost? And then the Lord said to us that we are to glorify God in our bodies and our spirits, didn't he? That's in the Word. It's in the Word. And we'd have had hundreds of years of wrong teaching along this line. And then there's a lot of blessings, I believe, that have been missed by not knowing the part that your soul can play. You know, we talked about those five doors. I call them five gates, five keys. And as I think about them, as I think about, you had Psalm 23, as I think about emotion and feeling, and I thought about it, and I had a lot of help. I did a lot of reading, and a lot of men and women have helped me with this, and the Holy Ghost. But when we talk about emotion as the first aspect of the soul, I think they're listed in chronological order myself. See, you got emotion, which is your feeling. That's part of your soul, all right? And then you have reason, or your intellect, which consists of reasoning. See, that's number two. I think they're going up all the time. Then you come to your memory, and we saw where David reminded himself what God had done for him. Huh? And so your memory plays a great part and can be blessed and can be anointed. Are you following me? So that's three aspects of your soul. And I think it's going up. I think it's chronological strength. I think because when you get down to the last two, the imagination, and we read in Genesis chapter 11, when people were doing things evil with their imagination, but the Lord says if he didn't correct it, it was nothing they couldn't do with their imagination. And then I think it's finalized, number five, the fifth aspect of the soul, which is the will. The will. And I think the will is the highest part. I think you, after you work through the other four, you get to being able to cooperate or submit or yield to the will of God. So I want to bring you through some things, some facts that you can grab a hold of, and that might be some things you've missed out on, some things you prayed about, and some way Satan trip you through your soul, trick you through your soul, you see, and you didn't know what was going on. So here in the psalmist, in Psalm 23:3, the psalmist is building his case. He says, he restoreth my soul. And I think it's time for, you're not taking nothing from your spirit. We're led by the spirit. We're born of the spirit. But you're a tri-type being. And if you let me say it this way, I think we need to get the Trinity together. We need to get the spirit, the soul, and the body together. I wrote on top of my page, many times we have been or are being robbed through our soul. Many times. And then I wrote another note for you. But now it's time to put our soul in a blessed position. What'd I say? See, now that kind of rally you, because if you think your soul evil and you think it can't be in a blessed position, in which we ministers have taught so many years, jumping around, not knowing what we're talking about, but the soul can be in a blessed position. Now also, in Hebrews 4:12, sometime in scriptures, the law of double reference comes. You can get, God can show you more than one thing in a scripture, and some things be real closely knitted together. And while you're turning there, I want to say something about John 10:10. You turn to Hebrews 4:12. I want to say something about John 10:10 because I in my prayer and study time, you know, they say the thief comes out but to steal, kill, and destroy. I believe that's where he's doing it at. I believe he's catching us on, as you call it, a soul train, not knowing what we're doing, you see. But I believe that's where I believe that's where he's been stealing us at. I believe if we can get this together and understand it, understand those five things. You ought to have them now. If you don't have them, you're just wasting my time. You don't know what your soul made of. You've been here in three or four sections of this lesson. You're not planning on learning nothing. Because you got to know these things, because you got to know it so you can be able to discern. Listen to me. You'll be able to discern what's going on when you're dealing with something. Are you following me? And you'll be able to find out what door did I leave open? Can I talk with you?
Yes,
see, because this is growth. This is for maturity. This is for taking back what the devil have stolen from you. And so John 10:10 said, the thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. You remember that part?
Yes,
huh? I believe a lot of that stealing been through a misunderstanding of the part that the soul can play in the believer's life. I believe if you get that right, you can move on to the second part of the voice. But Jesus said, I come, and he said that you might, you see. If you handle it right, you might have life, you might have more money. Here in Hebrews 4:12, in this verse, it's three eye-opening verses. Hebrews 4:12, Romans 12:1-3, and 1 Thessalonians 5, I went over them, but I'm just calling them out to you now, 5:23-24. Just kind of study those voices, study around those voices, and they'll give you an insight on how to function properly toward God in your soul. Now, this is a life-winning verse here, Hebrews 4:12. We've read this verse many times. We found out from this verse also that in John 6:63, I'm going to talk a lot tonight. John 6:63, we found out that the word is spirit and life. You listening?
Yes, sir.
And we found out in Romans 8:2, there's a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We need to know those verses. We need to know Hebrews 4:12. We need to know Romans 12:1-3. We need to know 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. John 6:63. And we need to know Romans 8:2 because all of these things pertain to being strong spiritually. All right? Here in Hebrews 4:12, since you just said, let's read Hebrews 4:12. Go ahead, read. Now, I've read behind many great men of God, and most of them lean to the aspect of that verse is not just talking about separating the soul and the spirit. It's talking about that the word has the ability to pierce the spirit. It has the ability to pierce the soul. You see what I'm saying? Because the soul is important. Write down in your notes, the soul is important. Put understanding the soul is important in the Christian walk. That would have been a good subject. but it's important. And so it we say that your soul, we say that all five parts that your soul consists of, the emotion part, the intellect part, the memory part, the imagination part, and the will part, if we get them, those five aligned with the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to all five of those aspects of our soul, we say there's a certain amount of maturity that will take place in your life. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
And where you're dragging your feet at sometime and where you're losing out, I think there's a strength there. So you see now, you say the Word of God is quick. We know it means alive. It's powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. The Bible is called, the word is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17. And so let's see this, that the word of God can work on our spirit. The word of God can work on our soul. And the word of God can work on our bodies. And that if our spirit, soul, and body ever get together, it would be such a powerful life that we can live with them working together in harmony, flowing with the Holy Ghost. Flowing with the Holy Ghost. If I get your spirit flowing with the Holy Ghost, get your soul flowing with the Holy Ghost, and get your body flowing with the Holy Ghost, and you not an evil thing. You're born of God's Spirit. Because in studying this, from my background of study in the early part of my ministry, we had this filthy rag idea. We all filthy rag, or we all sinner saved by grace. You know, and that don't do you no good. And that don't anoint you. They don't anoint me at all. Filthy rag. I don't get no anointing. I just feel filthy, you know what I'm saying? And so I want to give you some factors you must know and understand about your soul. If you turn to 2 Corinthians with me, I want to go over this verse again, then I'm going to give you that factor so you can watch out for him. Wait, when he try to pull this, next time he come, you're going to be ready. Two people are going to be ready. The rest of y'all might be calling, talking about pray for me. And I say, I ought to do it like this. People call and say, pray. I say, give me 2 points what I preach Sunday. Say, I don't know, hang up, bam, hang the phone. I can't do that, but I wish I could. Sometime. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, are you there? Now listen to this statement, because we get some factors that you must understand for your soul to function properly. When your soul functions properly, it connects with your spirit and demands your body. Your body is a crook because your soul been crooked. And you don't know how to adjust him, how to get him back in place. So, in the soul, it is where the devil tries to blind you from understanding your salvation. And when I say salvation, I'm not just talking about going to heaven, you know. Salvation is an all-inclusive word of all the blessing of God. But in your soul is where he try to blind you. He try to blind you either by some emotional feeling, some intellectual reason, some old memory that you had in your life before you got saved, Some will create the imagination. That's why the Bible says cast down imagination. Huh? And then he believed that when you got a habit in your life, he make you believe you can't break that habit. See? But here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, see now the gospel is good news, the gospel is direction, the gospel is Jesus Christ, the gospel is the things of God. He said, if I'm not ashamed, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Salvation is a word that includes deliverance. So if anything come in your life that is causing you not to have the victory, it's violating your salvation. But you have to know what to do to enforce your salvation with your faith, with your confession. Are you following me? So he come here he is, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen to me. The Christian life, the covenant, everything that God has done for us is in light. We need light. You need light. You need light from the gospel. You need light from the Spirit to walk in the light. That's why he says, you're the light of the world. And light means understanding. And we need light. And see, you can be a Christian and live like a sinner. Now, that's one of the things that disturbed me when I came into church, man. I said, man, my God. But what happened is, if you don't know how to yield to the word of God totally as the total man, look what John said. Third John, look what he said. You see, because prosperity is not just about money, it's about physical health, you know, living a good life. Look what John said in Third John. It'll bring us closer to how important the soul is. Then I'm gonna show you another passage that really gonna show you how important that you get this lesson under your belt to understand how to function in your soul too. How to function in your soul too. Now John said, beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health. Now notice what he says now. Notice what he says. Even what? So that means that my soul has the ability to prosper. And that means that prosperity cannot come full blast unless I understand my soul. I believe a knot of healing is jammed up in a misunderstood soul. A lot of deliverance, a lot of victory. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes,
see? You see, because if we don't fully understand it, the next text I'm going to read about the soul, there are three or four major texts I got. I was trying to give you these things. But remember, it's where the devil tried to blind you from understanding your salvation. So if I don't get it restored, what the devil going to do? He's going to blind me as a Christian, and I'm not going to know what to do, all right? Secondly, turn to 2 Corinthians 10 now. 2 Corinthians, facts you must know and understand about your soul. 2 Corinthians 10 now. We know these verses. We always quote these verses. But I may I say it like that, Lord? These are soul blockers. They're blocking your soul from functioning. Your soul can function. Got to be able to function. If God said this much about it, I know it sounds like a new horse running across the path with no bridle on, but it's still there. You catch him, we might break him. Now, we notice by these scriptures in 2 Corinthians 10, say, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You there? Now, watch what it says. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, plural. See, these evil imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your soul is where the devil tried to plant his stronghold. against God's truth. It's where the devil try to plant in your emotion, in your feeling, in your intellect, your reasoning. The devil be trying to plant this stuff. If you know how to keep your soul aligned with the word, when he show up, you're going to know how to deal with it. Can you imagine how many things been stolen from you through your soul? It is where the devil tries to plant his strongholds against God's truth in your mind. See. And that's why Paul said we got to pull him down. We got to cast him down. Turn to Luke 21. Luke 21. And excuse me, because I'm going to have to go over a lot of things over and over again, because I see you not getting it. And I know it, because you got to, like a classroom, you got to repeat it over and over again, because we've been thinking that the soul was the spirit for so many years. And we went through a lot of stuff, to tell you the truth. I know I did. I've been studying 40 years. I've been looking for 40 years. Nobody couldn't tell me nothing. About mission and the soul. The two things that if people just don't tell you nothing. You got to pray. And I guess I'm not going to find. I mean, John. I told you all Luke, right? I said, man, that's the wrong voice there. Are you seeing what we're trying to establish, though? Yes, see, it's an emotion, he'll take you for a ride, but no information and no light. Just a good emotional feeling. That don't fight. That don't work when you need power, you see what I'm saying? And so I we had some emotion here Sunday, but that was good emotion. I like to get in the spirit, but I like to have some information too. So when I come out the spirit, I can operate in faith. When I come out that feeling, I need to operate in faith, because I don't feel nothing right now. I got a problem. You understand? I need to know how to operate in faith without feeling. I need to let my faith let me know I'm winning when I don't feel like it. All right. In this, the statement was made, until we possess this part of our being. So our soul is a part of our being. Until we possess this part of our being, we cannot possess anything else. Why? He's going to steal it. Then, you need to take this voice with you. Voice Luke 21, 19. In your patience, possess ye your soul. So it's telling me my soul need to be possessed. And it tells me one of the best way for my soul to get training to be possessed is through trial. I want you to know God permits some things to come in your life. If you never get in the water, baby, you're never going to know how to swim. You can sit on the bench, you can talk to a point and say, do you know how to swim? Yeah, I can survive. They can't swim. I don't want to get in no water, but nobody tell me they can survive. If I ask you, could you swim? Just tell me, can you swim? Or you can't swim. So let's get a life jacket on you if you're going to ride in my boat. And while you're at it, give me one too, because I'm not sure. And then there in Matthew 16, 26, it asks the question, what it profits a man to gain the whole world? Now this scripture makes most sense to me, most spiritual sense, and lose his soul. And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? See, we think about hell and no, it's in this life. You cannot let nothing. What a man profit. See, the soul. I said this to you before. Now I'm gonna say it to you again, young lady. The soul, which is those five things I said. All right. How many of y'all know the five things? Y'all sitting here like y'all don't know. Come on now. The soul is where the deciding bout, fight, is fought for control over the human spirit. See, the Holy Spirit runs the whole thing. We got our recreated human spirit, we have the soul, and we have the body because we're a tripartite being. The fight, the real fight, is in the soul. And if the soul is ignorant, the fight is over. You lost, Satan win. All right, let me get to these things. Turn to Psalm 103. Now, this psalm will become more of a blessing to you. See? Now it's becoming more blessed. Psalm 103. Now it's more of a blessing to a person who has some understanding of their soul now. See? The psalmist said, bless the Lord, the first verse. Bless the Lord, O my spirit, O my mind. Wait, say, oh what? So that tells me my soul can bless the Lord. Right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that within me. Bless his holy name. Now watch. Watch the next verse, the second verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, again. Then it says, and forget not all of his benefit. Memory. And forget not all of his benefit. Forgetting not all of the benefit actually come through your soul. When David was facing Goliath, David brought his memory up. See, he reminded him, the Holy Ghost reminded him, David, you didn't kill that lion nor that bear. Sam, God who took them, he's going to take Goliath out. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. See, you got to have a testimony to be able to testify. So, here the psalmist tell me that my soul can bless God. Bless the Lord with your emotion. Bless the Lord with your reasoning. The Lord said, come, let us reason together. Bless the Lord with your memory. Remind God that you remember what he done for you last Friday. I bless you, Father. Last month I had a great battle, but I won. I bless you and I thank you for it. Say it, bless the Lord, all my soul. Yeah. See, then he talked about who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And he started off blessed with your soul, you see, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kind and tender mercy, satisfied thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, further than that, other than that, I'm going to get to something there. Turn to Matthew 22 with me. I'm showing some factors about the soul that will make it important to you. You can do further study. But I got to get you on the runway here to understand when you're praying and when you're reading the Word of God, don't just kick your soul to the curb. Let your soul get blessed too. You must use your soul to love God. Your love for God is incomplete if you don't know that you can love God through your soul. So in this class, I believe that you're going to develop a greater love for God because your souls are being restored. To complete, Jesus said it, to complete your love for God, you have to have your soul involved. I I'm standing here. I believe you can consecrate your soul. I believe you can align it with God's word, and it'll fall right in track with your human spirit, recreated spirit. It'll fall in track with the Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord with all my soul. Here in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the 37th verse, Jesus said unto him, this man that asked the question, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Yes, sir.
All right, Lord. And with all what? And see, but notice the soul is involved there. There's another scripture in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 6:5. Turn now. Because it's so important that we know that our soul is involved with us loving God. You can't leave the soul out. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And with all our might. Do you see that?
Yes,
now, how can I do this if I don't know what my soul is? And maybe I know what it is, but I don't know how it functions. But now you have functioning factors. Those five things are the soul functioning factors. It will open a whole new arena of the scriptures to you. You know, when you're talking about understanding what the will of the Lord is, I know my soul is involved there. I know if I don't get my soul involved, I'm not going to fully understand what the will of the Lord is. My imagination can create a life for me. As I take the word of God and put the word of God in my imagination and see myself with what God says is mine, I know my soul is involved there. You just can't put it out. I mean, you put it out, you're going to be putting Jesus out. Because he the one said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul. He said it. Look in Mark 12. Mark 12. Now, if you didn't know what you're working with, this would be a problem. Because there are such things as godly emotion, joy, unspeakable, and full of glory is godly emotion. Love have a lot of emotion in it, if it's real. Hallelujah. All right, Mark chapter 12. Verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. See that soul right in there with it. See, for so long the church had not known that tri-type being. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to drill this in our understanding. I see some new faces, and I want them to get to understand why I'm teaching this the way I'm teaching it, because it need to be taught, and it need to be caught. It's a lot of unwon battles because we're fighting with one part. And here, Apostle Paul, under the anointing, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Why would he say this? And it make most spiritual sense to me now. Notice what he says here. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, and soul, huh? And body, your whole spirit. Come on, class. And soul and body. You remember Hebrews 4:12? Huh? Now your apostle, your whole, be preserved blameless. You mean to tell me my body can be blameless? Absolutely. My soul? Absolutely. If you put them under the word. See? What he said in Romans 12:1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's telling you, your spirit, and let your soul get in on it too now. See? Then he deal with your mind. Then he deal with faith in Romans 12:3. Again, and the very God of peace sanctify. Oh. You mean to tell me my soul can be sanctified? My body can be sanctified? Set apart just for God? Is this real in this fallen generation? Is it possible that somebody would be sanctified? Is it possible that I can stop my body when it won't do something wrong? Yes. And the church so long have made it seem impossible from up here over there when they were sitting there. I come to Mount Zion one morning and they had all this around here, you know, that got me cut off from the people. You can't get to the people. And they're sitting up here. I just tore everything down and removed the brethren. Finally, the Holy Ghost got a chance to move a little bit. You know, the Holy Ghost ain't too much on second emotion. And they wanted to vote about everything. And so the Holy Ghost couldn't move because they, you know, they want to have a meeting and vote. So the Holy Ghost just do the best way he can. He loved people, but he just couldn't move like he wanted to move. Look at the, so you see that, those three. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 11, because I won't talk about it now, because if your soul is unrestful, if you are an emotional wreck, and you talking about, I don't know what happened, no. Just reasoning, just neckily reasoning, trying to figure something out. You know what I'm talking about? Why me? I mean, nobody else. You don't know no more than 14 people and somebody ain't happened nobody else. You see what I'm saying? And so that reasoning, and then that memory go to playing tricks on you. See, Satan will condemn you. Now, I was telling one of my sons, you know, I've been in ministry almost 40 years, and how many years is this, Carol? How many minutes have I been in? It's been 40 years. I can't go in my past. I've never been back there. I've never been back there in my mind. But I shut it off with the word. I shut it off so long I realize it don't exist. So Satan never tried to bring nothing, all the wrong I did. He never tried to bring it up because I know it's been washed by the blood. And I ain't paying no mind. So if you're sitting here with any condemnation at all, let me tell you something. You're a child of God. If you go to God, the blood can clean that and forget about it. And don't let nobody else bring it up. And don't sit around with people and gloat over your old sin. Just talking about, God, I used to do this. No, leave that alone. You see what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, in my memory, and I said it all night, I did all kinds of stuff. In my memory, when I got saved, I got saved. And so something happened to me, and I never went back. I don't even go back in my mind. So I believe your memory can be washed. I ain't got no condemnation. But in order not to have, you listening? In order not to have condemnation, you got to have conviction. You see, the Bible talk about slave, and I'm going to use another word tonight I never heard used. I think I'm going to use it one time. But you have to almost recognize that you have become a convict for God. You're locked in with him. And you don't want to break out. You follow what I'm saying? I see some of y'all don't like that too much. I don't want to go in that much. I just come for a little Bible study, you know. We're talking about consecration here now, baby. We're talking about my body belong to God. My mind belong to God. We're talking about holiness here now. Yeah, it still exists. Oh, good God Almighty. Holiness, say it, holiness. Still exists. But you got to know what you're doing. I said holiness. Sanctification. Consecration. Still exists in the body of Christ. If you don't repent, you're going to repeat. Now, true repentance is godly sorrow, not godly because I got caught. It's you and God. Nobody saw you. God said, you know that wasn't right. Yeah, Lord, it wasn't right. Because if somebody catches you, I don't really know whether it's real or not. You know, I don't know. You done got caught. I'm not going to stay that long. Y'all, I know y'all don't want me to stay there. Y'all teach that good glorified stuff. You in Matthew 11? So it's no, when a person lives right, it's no goodness on their own. It's the righteousness of God. I said, try it, you'll like it. You know the value? Listen to me. You know the value of a clear conscience? It's precious like rubies. You know the value of, see, I've been on both sides of the road. The phone ring, you don't care who on it. I heard one preacher tell a lady, said, don't stay on the phone so long when your husband is there. She said, stay on the phone long when he's not there. I said, my God, that's anointing there I never seen before. Now here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Now I always used to read verse 28 through 30. Some months ago, God gave me a revelation. You can't go there without the 27th verse, because actually it's revelatory. It's a revelatory setting there. You got to have a revelation from God for something to become a reality to you. Did you hear that? Yes. Come on, let me say it again, because y'all need to write this down. You have to have a revelation from God for things in the spirit to become a reality to you. They can't be real without revelation. They can't be real without your eyes being open. It can't be real without your ear being open. It can't be real without your heart being open. It can't be real without heaven being open. You got to come from heaven. And then it become a reality to you. See. So you need revelation for restoration. You need revelation. And so, as we work on restoring our soul, we have to have revelation from the Holy Ghost to bring our soul into restoration, or bring us to the fact of the reality of the part that our soul can play in the great march of redemption. Hallelujah. And I believe, now, brothers and sisters, I believe we have missed some things. We've been praying. We've been confessing. You know what I'm saying? We've been praising God. But I believe some of the things we're talking about now going to make you a very, very much stronger Christian. Because you know what you're working with. See, when your memory go to tripping, you get the word of God and say, look, I'm going to line you back up here. You remember when I got saved? Ask it that. Was you at my baptism? Now, so according to Matthew 11, 27, I'm about to say something, through verse 30, and you're going to have understanding to understand it. A soul, and every time I say soul, you think about them five things. A soul, a will, an imagination, a memory, that's backwards, that is submitted to the Holy Spirit, your spirit, and the word of God can function in revelation. When your soul is submitted to the Holy Ghost, to your spirit, and to the word of God, it can function in revelation. It can come in agreement with your spirit and say, let's get it on. Let's get it on. See, you follow me? Because in Ephesians 4:23, grab that right quick, grab that. It takes it to a deeper dimension of, I know what Romans 12:2 said. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now watch, that's part of the soul, will of God. Romans 12:2. But in Ephesians 4:23, it says, be renewed, where? In the spirit of your mind. Come on, Holy Ghost. Look at Genesis 2, verse 7. We'll come back to Matthew. God made man from the dust of the ground. Breathed in him. And he became a living soul. So the breath of the Holy Ghost can make the soul alive to the spirit world. Huh? You see that? Huh? See? Remember Ezekiel preaching them valley of dry bone? Them bone got up, but they had no life in them. And the Lord said, prophesy to the wind. He said, call the spirit. He got to have the spirit. Remember when God formed everything, he said, the spirit move on the face? And then Jesus, the one time, that Jesus said, I think it's in John's gospel, Jesus said, breathe on, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Go back to Matthew. If your soul is not in a restful position, Satan will keep it disturbed. But if you can align your soul up with the word of God, you enter into what you call soul rest. Ready for whatever comes. Could it be that we have been so spiritually taught that we left the soul out? But the Bible didn't. I've showed you, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He said so. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul. Didn't he say it? Yes, he restores my soul. Yes. Didn't he say it? Yes, you're born again in your spirit. But the soul and the body can cooperate. If you feed it, the spirit can lead it. You follow what I'm saying? But you got to recognize when you're reading the word of God, I'm feeding my soul also. And I'm feeding my body. I'm putting fuel and energy in my soul and my body. Spirit in charge. Holy Ghost in charge of my spirit. But you talking about a fight on your hand, you attack a Christian and know this. Because see what he does is in when you don't understand your soul, he's playing this game, and you don't know why he's whipping you at. But now, beloved, you can flag him down. You messing with my memory. I'm about to feed my memory some word. You messing with my imagination. That's what you're trying to hold me. You're trying to show me some failure. I don't see no failure. The Lord said love can't fail. Faith was working by love can't fail. See, you follow what I'm saying? So when he try to show you these pictures now, you can recall that this is a soul trip he's trying to take you on. And this is my soul. This is not Satan's soul. So why would the Bible talk about rest for your soul? That means that's where you can be real unrestful. Unanchored. Disturbed. Troubled. How many of y'all be serious with me tonight and say, I've had plenty of trouble out of my soul? Your soul is not to be a troublemaker. Your soul is your friend. But just like you feed the dog, a dog will leave if you don't feed him. You turn him loose. You turn a dog. A dog got dog sense. You're always passing by. You eating the piece of chicken. Go get in the car, and the dog. You don't even throw him the bone. That dog gonna leave and find him another home. So your soul, if it's not fed, it just sat there and look at you. Yeah. Huh? And you can't feed if you don't know where the mouth is. See? And that's why these five things are so important. I told you now, I believe their importance are chronological. Those five things. The emotion, that's the first one. And then the intellect, which is reason, number two. I believe the staircase up to a deeper dimension, because when you get to the will, which is the last one, that's when you're really rolling with God. Huh? Now, I want to deal with some of that emotion, too. I don't know if I'm going to deal with it much tonight, because I got a few minutes left. Then Matthew 11, in 27 verses, talks about revelation. And then after, you see, now, oh, my. Let me turn it. I might have to close that. Look at Matthew 11. 27th verse, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son. Talking about the Lord, talking about the Father, talking about Jesus, right? And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him, will reveal him. See, that word will reveal him is revelation. Now, you cannot do verse 28 without 27. If you don't have no revelation, you ain't coming to know Jesus. Now, what have happened? Some people got saved, never went back to Jesus. They don't know how to get back. Call them bebop Krishna. They don't know what way they're going. Because they don't have enough insight. They don't have enough light. Are you following me? But you... The Holy Ghost will reveal the Lord's will to you. The Holy Ghost will give you a godly imagination. Will give you a godly memory. I only remember what God done in my life. I don't remember what the devil done. Forget the devil. See? Then you come in the Lord and say, oh, you're living heavy laden. I will give you rest. Why so many Christians heavy laden? That's why they don't have no rest, because they don't have a revelation, and their soul is unrestful. They're feeling, they feel, God, I don't feel like I said a prayer. Well, that's dumb. Didn't you say it? I heard you. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so there's temporary delays sometimes in the spirit world. There's some other things Jesus is getting straight before he give you what you ask for. There might be a thief down the road waiting on you. So the Lord don't put that in your pocket. Shucks. I'm telling you, this is something. I've been preaching a long time, but thank much of God, I'm just fed. I can feed all the time. But I'm talking about average feeders. If they don't know this, see, y'all don't have much time to feed as I feed. See, my life is feeding. Because you follow what I'm saying? Y'all got to go to work and do different things. Now, I was wrong. I fed on the job. That's wrong. But I read all day long. Every time my boss comes, my boss finally got converted. He said, well, I just let him read. He put me on the longest job that they don't have to do nothing than anybody else. Everybody was satisfied, but I had two brothers, soul brothers. Everybody else was satisfied. Where you going? Where you been? I said, I've been on the job down the track. He said, why we don't get that job sometime? Now, the boss knew what I was doing. And the other guy knew, but the soul brothers. Where Leroy at? They wasn't my boss. Oh, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that was a dumb guy, man. Good God Almighty. Yeah, I did wrong. I know y'all on the job. See, now, on the job, I'm going to tell y'all right now. On the job, I'm reading my Bible. Jesus, and you're supposed to be working. Talking about, Jesus said this, and Jesus said that. The man ain't hire you to talk about no Jesus. See, we think we're right. I was wrong. I was wrong. Now, if it's okay on your break to read and stuff, that's fine. If you got a job, secular job. But them people ain't hired you to be witness and flagging the truck down. I had all the trucks. I had traffic held up. I had three trucks at one time. Hold on, man. I want to talk to you. I had a revival going on, man. But I was wrong. The Lord had mercy on me, you know, but I was wrong, man. Train come in. I flagged the train out. Get on there and try to get the conductor saved. I'm telling you, I've got many of them saved. My boss said, how long you been through with that truck? I said, we've been through a while.